Hello and welcome to another My Tunes podcast, taken from The Morning Show.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, next radio.
It's another week of My Tunes, and we are blessed with gaiety royalty here. We have an actor, a singer, an entertainer who, unless you've been living under a rock for the past, I don't know, few years, you will have seen at one of our fine establishments. Please, massive welcome, Simon Fletcher. Thank you for coming along.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to be here.
Well, it's lovely to... I'm glad we've tracked you down. You've been on the radar forever, but we've got you. How did this life on the stage all come about? Take us back to the beginning.
I suppose the first thing I did was at Murray's Road School, at primary school. And I got involved with Joseph. I did a few things after that at Ballacameen. We did Christmas Carol. I'd always sung in a choir, Eleanor Shimmons' Egg Threshing Choir, as a youngster as well. I was in the church choir at St. Ninian's. Then when the voice broke, I sort of went more into sport and didn't come back to the theatre really till sort of mid to late 20s. And I was actually, I think I was 30 when I did my first sort of lead role. As such, you know, so I've come into it quite late, and although I've always had the interest and love musical theatre, I've quite late getting into sort of doing it. But then it hasn't really stopped in the last 25 plus years since then.
And a massive involvement in the Guild, both you and your parents.
Yes, yeah, Mum and Dad, and my sister Nikki, we've all been involved singing, you know, since the word, you know, since the very beginning. Mum and Dad have been in a choir. If it survives till beginning of next year, they will have been in the Regal Singers mixed voice choir for 70 years.
Oh, that's a celebration.
It started in 1951. It's still going. And Mum and Dad and Alan Wilcox, who's the in charge of the choir, they are the only surviving founder members. So that'll be something if that's still going.
Well, I'll put that in the diary and also alert the newsroom. Because as you say, that's quite something.
So the singing's always been there. Yeah.
Now, the acting side of things, obviously musical theatre, there's a lot of acting in that, and we'll talk about that later in the week. But I didn't realise, rather like Jeff Collier, when he went into Dad's Army, that was his first straight drama, that this recent production, the WI one, the lovely Calendar Girls, was your first.
My first play, yes. It's always been musicals. I don't know why. Yeah, I got a call from Sonia Callan, who said they were wanting to put on this play and trying to do it fairly quickly because the Gaiety was allowed to be open again, but of course there was nothing on and all the acts they had booked, like the comedians that were coming over from across, weren't going to happen. So they wanted to try and put something on for the local people and do it within about 5 or 6 weeks. So got myself involved with that. Basically, we just had a read through. They picked the people they thought might be available and might be right for the parts. So it wasn't really auditioned as such, I don't think. And they just said, if everybody's happy with what they're doing, let's get on and do it. And big hats off to Stephanie Gray and to Sonia and everybody that was involved with it. And the girls especially, because they had the mountain of all the hard pulling to do as far as lines were concerned. For lads sure. Were just sort of cameo roles, but thoroughly enjoyed it.
It
great
was
fun.
Marvellous. And what a success in raising money for the charity.
Yeah, 30,000
well.
Was That's phenomenal.
Really, yeah. Really well done. Looking back... Not that you're looking forward. We'll talk about the latest project tomorrow, probably. But on the roles you've had so far, come on, which is the one you think I really, really loved? Or give us a couple of them, because you've been in so much.
Yeah, it'd have to be a couple. I can't really narrow it down. The first leading role I did was in 1995 when I played Billy Bigelow in Carousel. So that's always very special. But playing Barnum, the circus show, 2001, that was just brilliant. You know, it was sort of groundbreaking at the time for the Isle of Man. I think if it was done again now, it would be better. You know, the directors we've got now, I think, are really, really top draw.
But you had to go and learn quite a lot of circus craft.
Yeah,
for that.
To juggle and walk a tightrope and a few other little bits and pieces. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it was a challenge, and I still really enjoyed it. And it was a great show to be part of. The producers, which we did 2 or 3 years ago, which was hysterical. It was just fun from start to finish. At rehearsals, you know, we just laughed our socks off the whole way through, and just such a different part to play. Witches of Eastwick, playing the Jack Nicholson iconic sort of devil role, You know, again, that was something totally different. And but I've loved the straight things as well. I've loved playing Henry Higgins. It's too many, really. I've been very blessed, very lucky. Yeah. To have had so many great roles to play, really.
And... Well, luck seems to come to those who are extremely talented in this line of business, and we'll talk some more about that tomorrow. Let's have your first piece of music, Simon.
Well, it goes back to my first sort of memories of pop music, really. There wasn't much pop music going around in the household growing up because Mum and Dad were into classical music, so there wasn't really any pop at all. But a very good friend of mine still is, Perry Downward. I got into music through his brother, Rupert, and he had records, and we used to go around to the house, and I was about 7 years old, and Perry was a couple of years older, and we'd be playing the records that Rupert had bought or his elder sister had bought. The first one that sort of jumped out at me was Metal Guru by T-Rex.
Tunes on Manx Radio, and I'm delighted that all week we're in the company of Simon Fletcher, who's been in so many brilliant productions in the Isle of Man, Gaiety, all over different venues. But Gaiety, it's like your unofficial residence, Simon, really. Now, yesterday we played Metal Guru. Lyrically, you know, fairly straightforward to get hold of. But 1972, and we were talking just before we started this, that was a crucial year for you, musically.
Yeah, it's the year that I first sat up and listened to pop music, really. It became the year when I started listening to Johnny Walker doing the rundown of the charts every Tuesday lunchtime. And I documented it every week for years, probably till the late 70s, the top 30 every week after week after week. The charts had gone, what had gone up 10 places, what had gone down, what was number one the week before. And I just became fascinated with the charts. And say 72 particular, the T-Rex, the Slade, just great memories as a child. But I've always had this softer side, and I love ballads, absolutely love ballads. And four of my favourites that came out that year are still four of my favourite songs ever, and that's Goodbye to Love, which I think has the best extra guitar solo ever.
I agree. Stunning.
When it
stunning.
Plays out. Vincent, which I sang at the Gaiety last week in The Last Night of the Proms, by Don McLean, another great singer-songwriter. Without You, which I think is one of the greatest songs by Harry Nilsson, although I love the Badfinger version as well. It's the two boys from Badfinger that wrote it and sadly never got the royalties they deserved. And that's a tragic story in itself with Pete Ham and Tom Evans. And then the other one was You're a Lady by Peter Skellen. And I mean, how could a seven-year-old love a piece of music like that? You know, with the brass band, the orchestration, and this soft, gentle bloke singing along. I loved it as a 7-year-old, and I still love it now as a 50, nearly 57-year-old. You know, it's just brilliant.
You
brilliant
see,
songs.
This is leading me nicely into today's big question, because, you know, my dear listeners, some of them are aware that other radio stations exist. And on one other radio station, old Uncle Ken asks questions every morning of people. And Pop Master, you know, some people actually tune away and come back to this program just for they miss a bit of me and go to Blooming Ken for Pop Master. But you romped it, Simon.
I don't know about that. But,
you did. You got the digital radio and everything.
Yeah. The day I was on, we actually both of us scored the same. This guy from Ireland and I, we both scored the same. We both got one question wrong each, I think, so we had to have a tiebreak.
And yeah.
I managed to get through that. Got the digital radio with the 3 and 10, which it just fell into my lap. It was an 80s band, level 42, so I had songs in my head without a problem. The knowledge is there. So about, that's 10 years ago now, I think.
Is it really?
If I went on again now, I don't think I'd, you know, because there's 10 years of music that I haven't really paid as much attention to as I did in the 70s, 80s.
And... Well, you see, all that knowledge that we were talking about wasn't just tied into 1972. It was across the board, and it paid dividends. Mm. I tell you what, we can't advertise that too much. But well done, and congratulations.
And the radio's still working.
Is it?
Yes, oh yeah, I have it in the salon.
Do you?
Mm, yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, so.
Is it a good? Was it a good radio?
Yeah, it's one of those pure tones,
yeah?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, that.
Yeah, it's good.
Let's have today's wonderful track. Talk us into it.
Right, well, moving through the 70s, which I loved all sorts of music. I mean, I like elements of disco, of Motown, of when I was at school, sort of 14, 15, you had the punks and the mods. Well, I was neither, because I loved the Stranglers and I loved the Jam. I loved Madness, and so I wasn't going to get dressed like a punk or a mod, because I loved all that sort of stuff. And then we hit the new romantic era, sort of the synthesizer stuff in 1980 with the Human League and OMD. But the next song I'm going to pick is very memorable, because it came out in 1982. It was about the time when I was 17 going on 18 and starting to go out to the pubs and nightclubs, and we went to the Cave every Saturday night, and I went out with a great friend, Ian Anderson. He said, yeah, this is great. And we ended up doing a dance routine to this particular song, and we went to the Cave on Saturday night, and we sort of stood there and thought, we're going to do this? Yes, we're going to go up and dance. And we did, and everybody stood around and sort of, what on earth are these pair doing? Anyway, we got up and danced together, and within about 2 or 3 months, other blokes started getting onto the stage, and we like to think we were sort of pioneering, you know, in the dance of blokes dancing together, and it was just a phenomenal memory, and we used to look forward to it every week. How sad does that seem?
I think it's
couldn't
brilliant.
Wait for them to play this particular song,
yeah.
And it's... Simple Minds and Promised You a Miracle.
Breathing. promises, promises. I spent the days break wondering.
My Tunes on Manx Radio's morning show with me, Mark Tiley, and my guest all this week, Simon Fletcher. Simon, earlier on in the week you mentioned the wonderful Eleanor Shimmin, who has taught so many people to sing better and encourage them. I mean, she has been amazing for this island, hasn't she?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there was few teachers around at the time. I mean, Norma Cowell was another lady that had a choir at the time. But Eleanor had pupils galore for piano, for singing, and I think she still has a handful of pupils now, even though she's sort of well into her 80s now. But I think she's, the love of music is there with you forever. But yeah, she's been great. You know, I had lessons with Eleanor as a child, and then I had a few lessons with Alan Wilcox for a while, and then Arthur Solomon, one of my great friends, Sid, who helps out at the Gaiety, his father came over to the island to judge the music festival one year, and ended up meeting him, and went away, funnily enough, for a workshop weekend with the Chief Minister back in 1988. Stayed with Arthur and his wife at the rectory in Clifton Campville in near Tamworth in Staffordshire, and had a weekend of singing, and it was great. Howard had a lovely voice, probably still has, but he probably doesn't get time to do as much singing as he'd like. But yeah, so that got me having lessons with Arthur, and when he retired, he came over to the island to live. And now I go to Adrienne Murray, who's down the south of the island. So, yeah, it's like sport, keeping up, you've got to keep the muscles working,
yeah,
you know,
it's
the same
a muscular
way. Singing,
discipline.
People just think you open your mouth and sing. It's
no,
quite
far, far from it. How about the craft, the stagecraft, the acting? Where did you sort of draw on to get that? Because, I mean, you're a wonderful actor. Every part I've seen you in, you totally own it. It's not a copy, it's your interpretation of some of these amazing roles. Where does all that come from?
Don't know, really. Just from inside somewhere, I think. Yeah, I don't particularly, like you say, I try not to copy anything particularly. You might take elements of things that you might have seen, but it just comes from within, I think.
You know, I mean, I suppose I'm saying, have you had stage classes, acting, drama classes as well?
Not such,
just worked on the singing primarily.
Primarily,
terms of, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. I think I get people like singing actors and acting singers, and dancing was never one of my fortes and still isn't. I can sort of make do if I have to.
Yeah.
I've had to tap dance in shows in the past, but, you know, I can learn a particular routine, but I wouldn't call myself a dancer ever. Yeah. I think I was sort of mainly a singer to start with who could act a bit rather than an actor who could sing a bit. But, but I enjoy all the elements of it, and, yeah.
Well, we're all ever so looking forward to seeing you in Wind in the Willows. No tap dancing there, Ratty.
No.
But we'll see where we go with that. Let's have today's song.
My all-time musical hero, I think, the Beatle George Harrison. '60s is a great love of music, and that came around mainly from doing the pop quizzes on the Isle of Man, which was started up in the mid-'80s by Dave Wilson, the late Dave Wilson, who used to work up here at Manx Radio in the sales department, I think. And there was a standing joke because he was a massive Adam Faith fan. You know, everybody sort of poo-pooed some of Adam Faith stuff, but he was pretty good. But I went to the pop quizzes as a sort of 19, 20-year-old, and we carried them on through the 80s into the 90s. And that got my love of 60s music going, so I became really, really interested in Billy Fury, Del Shannon, Everly's, Beatles, obviously, have always been a favourite. But right the way through the 60s, you know, to the psychedelic era, I love some of the psychedelic stuff as well. Marmalade, The Kinks, Small Faces, it's just brilliant stuff. And then going back to the Beatles, George Harrison is just somebody I think is wonderful, musically and lyrically, very underrated. He just brought out the music because he wanted to do, and whether people bought it or not, he wasn't particularly fussed about it. He didn't promote it as much as Lennon and McCartney were doing with their solo stuff. He did probably about 7 albums during the 70s, so I think he was as prolific, if not more so, than McCartney and Lennon in that period. but a lot of people don't realise it. I'm picking the obvious song, I suppose. I could have picked any of George's songs, but this one is from a great triple album, All Things Must Pass album, which is just brilliant. It's not a bad song on it, but My Sweet Lord is just something, because I have a, you know, I do go to church, I have a religious faith, and it just sort of speaks to me, you know, all aspects of what's great about George and his religion as well, you know.
Final My Tunes Spot of the Week with my guest, the wonderful Simon Fletcher. Simon, I've been saving this question for today. Have you ever, A, been tempted, B, been offered parts off the island, away, and launching you into something completely different?
No and yes. I have done two roles off the island. One was playing the King in The King and I. We did that production I touched on earlier in the week with John Cumberledge at the Gaiety, and he asked me to go over to Stoke-on-Trent to play the King over there. And also Tony Finnegan, who's done our last sort of five or six shows with the Choral Union, asked me to go over to Dublin to the National Concert Hall and do Captain Von Trapp. So yeah, I've been twice and done it, but never really been tempted. I mean, I've had my business since, you know, I was 21, really. So no, it's a big wide world out there, and I'd just be a little fish in a big pond. And it's a big risk doing something like that. You know, there's a lot of luck involved in being spotted in these sort of situations. So I've had the best of both worlds. I've had a steady income, which has kept me going, and I've, as I said before, been blessed to have been able to do some of these great roles in one of the best theatres in the whole of the country. So what could be better, really?
And I'm sure a lot of people have told you this, but I've never seen you in one of your shows when I haven't heard people in the bar talking to me or talking to each other saying, he could go anywhere. And that happens again.
Mackled.
It's true. I know you're very modest, sir, but honestly, I hear that every time I see you in one of those big shows. And I think the quality generally of the shows is getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
It's incredible how it happens. I don't know.
Well, I think technically things are getting better as well. You know, lighting, sound is so much better. Lighting and sound can make such a difference to a show. And we're blessed over here to have great lighting guys and sound guy that does come from across, you know, but he does a lot of the shows over here now. Alex Linney, who you know. And I think it just ups the level altogether. And I think the directors we've had have been very, very good as well. And although we're all amateurs, we like to make the show as professional as it possibly can be, because people are paying good money. And as the standard gets better year after year, people come to the Gaiety and expect it to be, you know, that way. So you've got to live up to your last show and make it as good.
You know, when we've had the ability to bring friends over and have them stay and come and see shows, I've never had anyone go away saying, oh, that was an amateur show. They just assume it's professional. Mm-hmm. They just assume you're all professional, because that's the standard you've achieved.
That's really nice. It's nice for people to say that. As I say, we just do our best. Yeah. You know.
Well, it is phenomenal. You still do quizzes. We talked about your success on that other station with Ken. And winning a digital radio 10 years ago. Can't believe it. But you still do your quizzes.
Yes, myself and a group of other lads run a quiz night every Sunday night at the Woodburn Hotel. But it's not just pop music. It's general knowledge, sport, TV and film, pictures, standard sort of quiz stuff, really, you know. But yeah, we love it. Love doing it, you know.
Well, you know where to find them if you fancy some of that. You won't win a digital radio, I don't think.
No, but you'll win a little bit of money.
A little bit of money.
And money. Wine and chocolates and biscuits and all that kind of. Every team gets a prize.
That'll
Nobody
do.
Goes home empty-handed.
That'll do. So what have we got? We've got Wind in the Willows coming up, and you've got, you're on all the time. You've got a massive part.
Yes, it's frightening me to death. I think I'm, as I said, I think I had a brain freeze when I agreed to do it. I think I'll be spending every waking hour that I'm not working over the next 4 weeks with my head stuck in a script.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be a huge, huge success. Service Players, Wind in the Willows coming up in about 4 or 5 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Just over 4 weeks.
Very soon. Get your tickets now. Which role, final question, haven't you done? And you're thinking, I'd love to, someone, for goodness sakes, give me that. What? Which role haven't you done?
I'm not a great panto fan, but I would love to play Scrooge in a musical version of Christmas Carol of some sort, because Scrooge, I'm not a miserable beggar by any means, but I just love that role. And it's one of the few books I remember reading as a child. I've never been a great reader, but I do remember reading A Christmas Carol as a child, and I remember just loving the story of Scrooge. I know all Dickens' stuff is a bit dark, but
yeah,
but I just love Scrooge, and I love the way he sort of is a miserable beggar, and then he just turns around and he becomes. I watch it every year.
Yeah.
I watch either the Alistair Sim version or the musical version with Albert Finney.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed that somebody will pick that up and do it for you. Let's have the final track of the week.
Elvis Presley. It's just one of those songs, again, lyrically. It's a it reminds me a little bit of Rodgers and Hammerstein in the lyric of, I shouldn't say this as an Evertonian, but "You'll Never Walk Alone." I must be one of the few Evertonians that doesn't mind that song, except when it's sung in the cop, because they just murder it and they never keep time. But I love the lyric of "You'll Never Walk Alone." It's such a song of hope and positivity, as is "Climb Every Mountain." I think they're two of the best Rodgers and Hammerstein pieces of music and lyrics ever written. And Elvis's "If I Can Dream" is similar. It's looking for a world, hoping for things to be better and striving for it. And it's a great tune as well. I've not picked any sort of real modern ones, although I do love bands like The Killers, Keen, Manic Street Preachers, and I could have picked songs by them as well. But as I say, it's difficult to condense it down to four. And this just, stands out to me as one of the all-time classic songs.
Simon, thank you for a great week.
Thank you. Pleasure.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why. Understanding sometime, strong winds of promise that will blow away the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on. Answers gonna come somehow. Out there in the dark, there's a beckoning candle, and while I can think, while I can talk, while I can stand, while I can walk, while I can dream, oh, please let my dream come true.
What a superb recording. Elvis Presley, "If I Can Dream." My thanks again to Simon Fletcher for joining me on MyTunes. Keep coming back to manxradio.com for more podcasts of all shapes and sizes. And join me, Mark Tiley, Monday to Friday from 9:30 for Mark Tiley in the Morning.